Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Sexual predators and comprehensive sex education both break down inhibitions. That's what they start with. They also gain trust with the child and then slowly start to get them towards sexual activity.
Anything goes. You are teaching children adult child sex. You're teaching transgender issues. And, you know, children are moldable and influenced by that.
They said, okay, now we need you and your team to be able to explain what homosexuality is to a four-year-old student.
To introduce this kind of material at that age, frankly, it's child abuse.
You're going to teach our children that it's okay for any two children of any age, of any sex, to have sexual intercourse with each other as long as two components are present. One's using a condom and they both give consent. Did I hear that correctly?
It's not a neutral venue. There's no such thing. Okay, the schools are doing your job. They are discipling your children, but they're not discipling them in the faith of Jesus Christ.
It's only the exceptional child that even survives that system. Most do not survive. Most have not survived.
They believe that children are sexual from birth and that they deserve and have the right to be sexually active and to seek sexual pleasure. And if anyone is stopping them from that, then you are judging and oppressing them.
Even kindergarten now, they're wanting to teach them more and more perverse information and acts and put that into the children's minds. And once that poison is in a child's mind, it doesn't leave. They'll always remember what they learned. And it's by design, it's orchestrated.
In my humble opinion, it will be worse before it gets better.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any difference. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic's off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Hour number two. Hour number three. I don't know. It's Friday. Are we done yet? Are we there yet? We might be there. Anyway, hour number three. Last hour, Mark Morgan was going to join us. He's in a place where he has no cell phone coverage. He was not able to join us. I'm going to try to get him on Monday to talk about the Title 42 and what's happened, and I'm sure we'll have a lot of buildup from then. I have to tell you, I live above San Antonio, and I'm gearing up, because the last time that we had this open border situation, and we've had an open border. It's not as though the border is closed and now it's open, but it's going to be worse. But the last time this happened, and I didn't have neighbors around me like I do right now, but the last time this happened, literally, my back fence was cut daily. And we would have to try to, you know, do repairs, and we had people coming into the house. We had stuff disappearing. I have a full on camera system. So you come on my property, you're gonna be on camera. But, you know, even back then, I mean, I used to have to go out on my back porch every night, and we had a lot more trees. We've cut the trees so I can see now. But back then I couldn't even see, 'cause the trees were so thick. I just fire the shotgun into the trees, folks. I just tell you, just about six or seven shots into the trees. Because I had druggies coming and bad people cutting my fence and coming up onto my property. And we found the glass paraphernalia where they were cooking meth at the bottom of the property. It was a mess. And now here we go. Again, but anyway, he was going to be on. He was not able to come on. So I was walking you through the breaking down of the institutions. And then we took a look at President Trump and his speech last night. Let me welcome to the program, my guest and my friend. And, what do we got going on here? I've got three pictures of, oh, I know. Okay. So let's get rid of that. And let's do that. And yeah, now, okay, now I can welcome him. Hello, Don Jans.
Good morning. Good Friday morning.
Good Friday morning, sir. Good Friday morning to you. So I was talking with folks. I don't know, did you watch? I did not. I just didn't turn it on. But did you watch President Trump last night?
I did not.
Okay. I clicked around and found a couple of different, you know, commentaries on it, and played a couple of those commentaries and what have you. And then I was, you know, kind of describing for people some of the issues that he faced relative to the destruction of the institutions, in particular the foreign policy and the State Department issues, which, you know, people tend to look at these things through a finite scope as if this is something new. Mm-hmm. When we address what's happening to kids and we say, well, how in the world could a parent, you know, support the trans agenda or, you know, then their kids dressing up like this, or drag queen hours, or, you know, who was it that came out they were all super proud because all of their children are gay. Let's see. Let me see if I can find it this way. Celebrity says all her children are gay. Mary Gay Harden. All three of her kids, her adult kids, identify as some form of queer. And so you then in addition to that, you had Charlize Theron come on and say, you know, if anybody messes with the trans community, I'm going to F them up. Mm-hmm. I'm going to F them. People look at these kinds of things, and some are like, oh, shocked. Oh, my gosh. But, Dawn, I think that we missed the boat with that, in the sense that this is an indoctrination that has been going on for a good 40 years.
At least. At least. And it's and we say, well, this is just new to our society, folks. This isn't just new to our society. It's one of the primary reasons why the Roman Empire fell.
Well, and I would suggest that it's not even new to our society. It's just, I mean, look, 20-something years ago, and I've talked about this a little bit before, but 20-something years ago, I was on the school site council for the grammar school that my middle daughters, Colin and Jackie, were attending. And one of the books that was in Colin's first grade class as a reader was a book called And Tango Makes Three. And it's the story of two male penguins adopting a penguin and calling that a family.
Is that indoctrination?
Well, it sure seems like indoctrination to me. And folks, that's 17 years ago. And everybody acts like, oh, they got these books and pornography's in the children's life. And that's when I pointed out to folks, I said, let's go back and look. Alfred Kinsey, the book on male, human male sexuality, 1948. The book on female sexuality, 1953. By the mid-50s, Kinsey's work is in the schools, and in the 60s, and then we talk, oh, well, you know, 60s is the sexual revolution. No, see, the 60s is the result of the Kinsey work that was done, that was out there through the entire 1950s. And you had the parents, everybody was being indoctrinated with this stuff.
Yes. And it's now coming to fruition. We've been talking about this. I've been studying this for a long time. Yep. Everything we've talked about over the last, 10 years now? Yep. is reality. Everything we have discussed is reality.
We warned them. We've been warning them for 10 years.
Yes. And even 10 years ago, it wasn't a new revelation. It had been going on for a long time.
But 10 years ago, it wasn't where it is today.
Oh, no. It's progressed dramatically. It's progressed dramatically.
And that's because there's no restrictions on it, because now, see, before they just had the water kind of at a simmer as everybody was getting stewed in it.
Right.
Now they've turned it up and everybody's kind of cooking in it.
The thing that it's just like everything else that happens, though, is you have your outsiders start to talk about it, and then everybody thinks it's cool, and then they start talking about it, and then of course people want to be different. They don't want to be called old stogies, so they start taking up this new information, what it is, and I think we have to understand this. And I, as you know, there are two types of governments. There's that government that was instituted here in the United States that said, no, the individual is paramount. This is the way we were created. And yes, friends, we were created. Our country was formed on biblical principles. There is no question about that, despite what people are telling us. Then as countries move along, you have this movement that moves away. Everybody, even Israel, moved away from the teachings of God. And that's what we have happening now.
And the war, let me just interject, and the battle in Israel right now, the Reformation battle that's taking place in Israel right now, is because the majority of Israelis want to go back to God. 80% of the population wants to go back to God. That's why Netanyahu and the conservatives have taken over the government. The problem they have is in the court system. The judiciary is very liberal and globalist. And so Netanyahu, they wanted to change that and take away some of their power so that that way the will of the people would take place. That's why there's violence happening on the inside within the Israelis, and the outside world is taking advantage of that. But that's the battle that's going on right now over there. And one other piece to add to what you said about the evolution piece that I have argued, and I've been arguing this for 11 years, and 11 years for the first number of years, I was told, oh, you're overstating that or that really. The Scopes trial of the 1920s was the beginning of the destruction of our education system because it cracked open the ability to remove God. Everybody points to the 1960s as when the Bible and prayer were removed. You're missing the boat. It happened 40 years earlier. 40 years before that, they cracked that egg and they started cooking it, and that's how we ended up. So by that, that's why, because everybody says, Don, well, where were the adults? Where were the Christians? Where were the protesters? Why didn't anybody get up in their arms and throw a fit about the fact that that they took prayer and the Bible out of school? I'll tell you why. Because by the time they did it, it was accepted as we should do it. We should. It was an accepted concept to remove God at that time, because for 40 years they had been slowly boiling the people.
We can go back, and I would go back before Scopes and before 1920. One of the key elements, one of the very 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 key elements of the 10 points of the Communist Manifesto written by Marx and Engels is that you have to have public education. Why would you have to have public education? What's critical about public education versus private education? Who controls it? Mm-hmm. The state. And as our public education system in the United States grew, I think we can safely argue that more and more and more atheism came in and started to take over the public schools, the public education. And it has evolved from there. The other thing that happened is manipulation of language. The manipulation of language is absolutely incredible. I'm going to use two examples. Today, if you ask people what kind of a judicial system we would have, what's the basis behind our judicial system, they would tell you that it is, you are innocent until you are proven guilty. Folks, that is absolutely wrong. The court system has nothing to do with guilt or innocence. If you committed a crime, you are guilty. You and God know you are guilty. The purpose of our court system was on whom the proof lies. Does it lie with the state or does it lie with the defendant? And in a free society, the burden of proof has to lie with the state. So when they say you committed a crime, they have to prove I committed that crime. If I did or did not is really immaterial. God and I know whether I'm guilty or not, but they have to prove it. In the system we now have, we've reversed that, and we've stated it a number of times that no, the proof lies with the defendant. We right. have to now, the defendant now has to prove that they are innocent.
Yep.
And this is the difference between freedom and tyranny.
Yeah.
In the system we now have, we were told by Nancy Pelosi that when Donald Trump was going to be indicted, well, he has the opportunity to prove he's innocent. Folks, that is tyranny. That is absolute tyranny. The other thing that has happened is we've totally misled our people when we say separation of church and state. That was never, ever the intent of our founding. In fact, our Capitol building was used for church services.
Amen. Three different churches at one point met at the Capitol at one time. Three different churches, and Thomas Jefferson, who they want to claim is a pseudo-Christian and a deist and whatever else they want to say about him, Thomas Jefferson actually commissioned the Marine Band to play the worship because he went to the service and he felt that the worship that was being presented was not worthy of the God who it was being presented to. And he felt that it needed to be elevated. And so therefore he commissioned the Marine Band to play the worship. And it should also be noted that the first book that was printed by our Congress was a Bible, because they wanted to make sure that every family in the 13 colonies had a Bible. Because they knew that a common faith is what would create the United States and what would bind us together against all enemies, foreign and domestic. They knew that that would be what would bind us together, and they wanted to make sure. Now, you had Baptists, you had Methodists, you had Presbyterians, you had Congregationalists, you had a variety of different denominations, and they each had their particular idea of what they emphasized, what they thought was the most important doctrine. But at the end of the day, the bottom line, and they all said this, is the end of the day, it's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the remission of sins, and he is the only path to heaven. And it was that which they agreed upon which caused them to be united together, knowing that it was God that was over this nation, and he had ordained it.
And so why do we have the First Amendment, where we talk about there should Congress shall be able to make no national religion. The purpose, remember, we were English colonies.
Mm-hmm.
The Church of England was our national church. That's that we were English. And the Church of England was the National Church of England. And take, for instance, Virginia. It was also the National Church of Virginia. And you had money or taxes paid to the state were used to pay the clergy in the operation of the Church of England in Virginia as well as in other states. And that, and then when we get up north, we have other religions that were the religion of that particular state. And the First Amendment says that Congress cannot have a national religion. So we cannot, under the law, all have to be Catholics, Church of England, Baptists, Pentecost, whatever it might be.
Right.
That's exactly what it says. And then the founders followed that up when they said, and there can be no law against the restriction of the practice of religion. So we have the absolute constitutional right to carry our Bible, to pray in any building in this country, including the Capitol of the United States.
Amen.
Including the White House, where I'm sure it's not open at all anymore.
Yeah.
The other thing we learned during the Constitutional Convention, this is before the Bill of Rights was written, but they learned their lesson. They were struggling, my friends. They were really, really struggling on how they were going to pull this thing together.
Yeah.
Until Benjamin Franklin said, I know what's wrong. We must open every session with prayer. And once that happened, once every session was opened with prayer, all of a sudden, everything started to come together. So what we have done in our nation and I can't emphasize this enough, is we have allowed the use of language to completely and totally distort who we are, what we are, what our principles are, what our principles are not. And we've gotten to the place now where we are buying the communist mandate. And many of the communist mandates, but probably the one that's most crucial to us, and that is that we must eliminate anything and everything to do with God. And when we eliminate anything and everything to do with God, we eliminate anything and everything to do with good and to do with order. And so, communists want us to not have good and not have order, because they cannot then institute their religion.
Well, because what they need to do is they've got to break our system down. They've got to utterly crush it and destroy it.
Yeah, I want you to repeat that. I want you to repeat, because this is key. They cannot remake it.
No, they don't want to remake it. They want to literally crush our system and destroy it. And this goes all the way back to the argument that I was making about the evolution and about the removal of God, as you're saying, and how long this has been going on. And that means the devaluation of life. And they've gone in and they have convinced individuals that there is no value to life. Eugenics, the issue of abortion, the issue of euthanasia, all of these things are about destroying the value of life. And Don, to the breaking down, I was sharing this earlier in the program. There was a murder. Well, there was shooting of police officers. There have been several murders now. Constant. This is constantly going on. But there was a shooting with a police officers in Polk County, Florida. And here's what it says. And this is something that's so important to understand. The sheriff said that Dalmas, this is one of the shooters, and his two cohorts who were on probation on Wednesday's incident were smoking marijuana and driving around Lakeland looking for someone to shoot. Now I want you folks pay attention to that, because there's another instance of the same thing, and this was in Chicago, where Ariana Preston was murdered, an off-duty Chicago police officer. She was killed at 1:42 in the morning. She was returning home when the teens pulled up in a stolen car, and at least two of the teens allegedly fired at her. And what does it say about the four suspects? They were out looking for victims. This has been a theme, by the way, okay, in New York, in Chicago, in Florida, in these places. And I have been warning folks for years now, the National Action Network, Al Sharpton's group, went into 50 cities in 2012 and said they were going to be raising up individuals to do just this. Just this, to create chaos. And there was a little scene interview that happened in Dallas, Texas, when the five police officers there were murdered, and the leader of the National Action Network chapter was interviewed and said his only regret, Don, was that they didn't kill more officers.
Is that a sad state of being? These are national leaders that are encouraging this. Supposedly national leaders that are encouraging this.
Absolutely.
It really boils down to this, and we've been discussing this, and I think there are some people in our country besides you and myself now who are starting to truly understand this. We are under a communist siege.
Yep.
In the 45 points that were adopted into the House of into Congress in 1963 in the Communist Manifesto, in virtually every place you read where communism has taken over and communism has been around for a long time. You must destroy the family. The core family unit absolutely has to be destroyed. And how do you destroy the core family unit? You take away the parent-child structure, and you start to put the values that the kids adopt coming from a different source, and that's the state. And it all goes into this idea then that they can convince these kids that they are victims and that they can do anything they want to do. And we all know children can be molded quite easily. And if we don't mold them ourselves,
yep,
our government's going to mold them, and that's what we are now suffering from. It's not an accident.
And it's you know, you they're victimized by what? This is why you had, this was a black woman, and these individuals, these black boys, pulled over in a stolen car and jumped out to shoot her. Why? Because she was still in uniform. Because the fact
she was
24 years old. But because of the fact that she was in a police uniform, that overrode the fact that she was black skinned. And so they're teaching these young people to hate two things: hate the uniform and hate the light skin. And you hate the uniform more than you hate the light skin. And it's all about ultimately, it's all about breakdown in authority. Yeah. It's the destruction of any authority. And now for the first time in our history, you have more single women raising children than you have married couples. And in the black community in particular, it's horrific because it's gone completely upside down. 50 years ago, it was 75% to 77% of black families were intact. More were intact in the black community than in the white community, where it was about 72% to 73%. Now it's completely upside down.
What changed that?
Welfare.
Poverty.
Well, welfare. Welfare is what changed that. What changed that was driving it out. And I've got, you know, again, my situation being somewhat unique, I have my own personal story about that, because my wife and I in 1990 were in a very difficult financial situation. We had two small children. We were living with my mom, and I was an elder in the church, and we were in a transition period. And the church said to us, well, there are social programs, and it would be okay for you to get, you know, and I remember when I was here in Texas and had lost a job, trying to go in and even file for unemployment, and it made me physically ill just to go in and file for unemployment at that time. So my wife called. We were in California living with my mom. My wife called and explained the situation and ask if there was assistance. And the representative for the state said to her, Dawn, if you will divorce your husband, if you will divorce your husband, we will provide you with housing, we will provide you with medical, we will provide you with cash aid, and we will provide you with food stamps. In other words, we will completely take care of you, and we have we can move you out today and put you in a house, you and the two babies, but you've got to divorce your husband.
Is that destruction of family?
Gee, sounds like it to me.
Yep, it really does. The thing that we learn, and of course, this is again manipulation of language. We have people in the church that, and of course it's used against us all the time who are in the church. We have people who say, well, doesn't Jesus say you're supposed to take care of the poor? Well, Jesus did say that. Absolutely did. But from where does it come? When it comes from the state, the whole purpose of the state is to take those people and make them a slave to the state.
Yep.
They build permanent slaves to the state. We have generations that have been on state aid. Charity, the type that Jesus Christ was talking about, where we help our fellow man because we love God and he wants us to help them, is totally different from welfare. Charity is to build up people, to free them. This is the whole idea. And we're also supposed to, when we give that charity, we're also supposed to give them the food of life. Not just food for the body, but food of life, which Jesus Christ said he was. And this is the whole difference. I would have far less problem with welfare today if what we were to, if what we were doing is if we were giving Bible with that welfare, then maybe, I still couldn't support it, but at least there would have some reason to say, well, maybe.
Well, I could see a welfare to work program, in other words, but it has to be a bridge that is building towards helping them, you know, get there.
Why won't the Democrats buy that? Why won't the Democrats buy that idea?
Well, because they lose control. Right. Because they lose control. And I know you and I differ when it comes a little bit to the Social Security system. And I understand what you're saying. My feeling is this. If you've paid into a program, if you've put your money and your sweat and so on, and you've put it into the program, then you should have a right to be able to receive something back out of it. And so I look at Social Security as being something that is not welfare, but I do understand that Social Security also can become something other than that. And I get that argument, but I you know, there are circumstances and situations whereby I think that Social Security serves a can serve a proper purpose.
I think Social Security has been an important part in the American system now, but It is also the quintessential definition of welfare. When you read the definition of welfare and the purpose of welfare, Social Security fits it perfectly.
Yeah. No, I understand the argument. I would look at where someone is receiving something and they have not put anything into it, that looks to me like welfare. Whereas the argument that Social Security being something that someone has put money into, whether, you know, by whatever that particular program might be that they are associated with, if they've sown seed into it, then they have a justification for receiving back out of it.
Yeah, and to augment your case, which I think you have to be able to look at both sides of things.
Yeah,
the welfare system as such is truly a destructive system of the family. No question about it. The welfare system's purpose is to destroy families.
Agreed.
At least with Social Security, it is not. If anything, it really helps augment that elderly family.
Right. Absolutely.
So but it is a welfare program.
Yeah. Well, and if we had a situation, you know, this is one of the arguments being in ministry for as long as I have been. If the society and actually they do this in Germany now, I'm not suggesting this is the proper way to do it, but in Germany, and I didn't know this till we actually visited there in 98 and spent some time over there in Germany, there is the Lutheran Church is predominantly, that is the church of Germany, and every working person has 10% of their wage taken out and given to the Lutheran Church.
Yeah, that's a state religion.
Yeah, it is. Now, you know, I'm not suggesting that that's the proper methodology, But if people understood, and I know, you know, there was a big move and still is. There's a lot of people that are like, well, no, tithing, that's not New Testament, that's Old Testament. Well, argue that as you will. But if the membership of churches, if the people involved in church all gave their 10%, then there'd be no need for welfare programs and Social Security programs and any of that, because there would be an abundance within the body of Christ for the church to be able to help take care of the people that needed help and needed to be taken care of.
So if I understand what you're saying correctly, you're telling us that much of our problems today is because the church is failing to follow the commandments of God. Is that correct?
I would suggest that is absolutely correct. And for those that argue and say, well, yeah, I'd give, but, you know, I get it. Believe me. And I was talking about this on Sunday when I was preaching in Maryland. I have the India ministry. We show people. We put in wells. We hold meetings every week. We had 51 salvations this last week and 33 people that testified about healings. And we planted another church in an unchurched area. Again, we have over 700 churches. We have orphans. We have widows. We have this active ministry that is going on. As Don, as you know, it is so difficult for me to get donations for what we're trying to do. We need $150,000 right now so that we can buy property, so we can start an egg farm, so that we can feed the Christians over there who are being starved out because the Sikh have this nationalist idea and are choking off the Christians from being able to work. And they would be able to not only provide food for the Christian community, but they'd be able to turn that around and market half of that property would be used to generate income to provide jobs for those people. Just like we do with our sewing school, where we train widows how to be seamstresses so that they can do what? Fish. Mm-hmm. We need at least 10 more sewing schools. We need at least another 100 bore wells. But, you know, and we show you what we do. And so on. But because of these individuals that have taken money and misappropriated the money and not used the funds correctly, and the prosperity messages, and, oh, why does this pastor need a plane, and all this other stuff that they've attacked, some reasonably, some not reasonably, okay? But because of that, people are reluctant to give.
Yes, they are. And yet we're commanded to.
Well, so maybe the message there is, look, you're supposed to be giving. The Word of God commands you, as Don said, to give. What the individual, what that ministry does with those funds, they will answer to God for that. Mm-hmm. Period. They will answer to God. So you find a place that you believe you can trust and start giving. Because you're not giving to a man or even to the ministry. You really are giving to God.
And little is much when God is in it.
Little is huge when God is in it. And if you'd like to help support what we're doing, you can. Go to paypal.me/PastorGreg. paypal.me/PastorGreg. You can also do it at Cash App. And just go to Cash App, and it's $PastorGregCGR, $PastorGregCGR, or Venmo, @PastorGregCGR, Pastor Greg, CGR, and Don is a regular monthly contributor, and we greatly appreciate his support. And we've just put in our 41st freshwater well. We plan to put in number 42 sometime this month. We're graduating our Bible students this weekend. We just did the service that we did on Thursday. We were able to support. We have a widow that we were made aware of whose daughter, she was widowed 15 years ago. I showed a picture of it. I won't show it again because Facebook, I don't know, tagged me as inappropriate for the community. But at any rate, she was murdered for being Christian. She became engaged to a young man who was Sikh, and his family convinced him that she was a Christian, and B, lower caste, and therefore he needed to end the engagement, and their means to end the engagement was to slice her neck and kill her. They beat her, they sliced her neck, and they killed her. Horrific. And so she was the only one that was, she had just gotten a job at a medical facility and was actually making something so that the family had a means to live. And that now they're back, and there's two sons, but they're lower caste, so they're not educated, and they've got to just kind of try to find day work as they can. So we are providing them with some assistance as they, you know, mourn and work through this process.
That's a terrific story.
It's horrible. And I, yeah, you know, I talked to Pastor Samuel about getting her in our sewing school. The problem is she lives almost 15 miles from the church, and she has no way to get to the church to participate in the sewing school.
And these people are seeking to be with God, and we have people in our church that are seeking to destroy our churches.
Yep.
It's
yep.
Folks, Pastor Greg and I have been talking about this for a long time. I've studied this for a long time. And what we know is that the direction of our country is wrong. We are going down a wrong track. There's only one solution to it, and that is to turn back to God.
Yep.
Only solution. There is no other. We are doomed if we do not. And believe me, the demonic forces are real, and they are out there, and they are seeking the destruction of this nation, because this nation was formed on the basis of everything they oppose. We have always to remember, however, that our higher calling is to do things like Pastor Greg is doing in India, to take the word, to take the story of Jesus Christ to the world. I believe in it. I hope you will believe in it, because I've seen the work that's being done. No, I don't know those people. I do know that they are precious in the sight of God. That I do know. Why do I know that? Because the Bible tells me that. And we must always put that as our top priority. Yes, we have national problems. We have very serious national problems. But God doesn't just look at the United States. Sometimes I think we become narcissistic and believe that we are the only people that God really cares about right now. That's not what I mean.
Yeah.
And so let's all of us this Mother's Day make sure that those wells are drilled, make sure that we make a big contribution towards that land so God can use us to do his work.
Thank you, Don. I really appreciate that. Well, you know, we mentioned this. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And then we end there. if you listen to people quote that verse so often, they say, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Well, that's not the conclusion of it, because then it says, and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. What does that tell us about causation? What does that tell us about why there's an issue in the land? Why there are problems in the land? Then, so, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn, that's repentance. If they will repent of their sins, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin. So there's a causation. What's causing the issues in the land? What's causing the challenges in the land? It's called sin. And when the body of Christ is embracing sin and calling evil good and saying, I was watching this pastor say, our trends, brothers and sisters. No. What we need to say is, hey, God loves you and he created you, male and female. Well, but you know, he made you. Yes, he did. He made individuals who have no sex desire, eunuchs, if you will, who are designed to serve God, not dress up in drag, not do gyrations and sexual deviance with children, but to serve God. And Paul says this, if you are single and you have strong attractions to a woman, or you're a woman and you have strong your attractions to a man, get married. But if you can abstain from that and you can live single, then dedicate yourself to God and live single. It's just that simple. But unfortunately, Don, we make it more complex than that, don't we?
That's correct. Yes, we do.
You know, we want to force somebody who may say, you know what? No, I think I want to just be single. And what is their purpose? Their purpose is serve God. And it may be to serve God in the church, or it may be to serve God by serving in government, where they're not influenced by things that others are going to be influenced by.
Mm-hmm. We are a mixed up people right now.
Yeah.
We're mixed up, but I shouldn't say right now. I shouldn't say right now.
Right.
People have always been mixed up.
Well,
and
sin.
We see this happen.
Yep.
And one of the things, one of the reasons why the left, why the communists, why the collectivists, one of their commands is that you must rewrite history.
Yeah.
The reason is because they don't want people to understand what has happened in the past, because history does repeat itself. And they want us to rewrite our history now, because when we study history, I don't care what era we're in, we will find, and listen to this very carefully, we will find always that as the evils of hell rise within a society, the forces of tyranny follow soon thereafter.
Yeah.
And the evils of hell are rising within the American society, when we are told that we must not only protect perversions, but we must promote perversions, we're not just obligated to protect the rights of the LGBT or whatever that so-called community is, that go totally against the teachings of God. We're not only supposed to protect that, we're supposed to promote that. And we're supposed to even promote it to our children in our schools, to children as young as 4 and 5 years old. That's happening in our nation right now. And what we're also seeing is that everything necessary to bring on tyranny is also being done. What's the greatest cause of that? The denial of God, denial of the Bible, and the breakdown of all institutions. Yeah. That's where we are. And as long as we continue to do that, tyranny will continue to raise its ugly head in our nation.
No question. No question. And it's really, it's a sad state of affairs, isn't it, Don?
Yes, it is.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. All right. We are at the end of our time together. God bless you. God bless moms. They are so important, and their role is so important in setting, helping to set that foundation for those arrows. And so I just pray the Lord's blessing on moms, and know that it is a virtuous thing for a mother to be able to stay home and take care of her kids. That's a virtuous thing. It's a good thing. Children need that. And I wish that more moms were in a position to do exactly that, because it's such an important thing. We're going to take our leave. Again, I thank you so much for tuning in. As Dawn encouraged you, and I encourage you as well, please consider a donation today. You can go to ChildrenGenerationRadio.com. You can click on the donate button, make whatever dollar donation you'd like to make. And you can do so without any commitment to have to do monthly. But if you'd like to do a fixed monthly amount, we would greatly appreciate that and encourage you to set that up as well. Or you can go to paypal.me/PastorGreg. At Cash App, $PastorGregCGR, $PastorGregCGR, or Venmo, @PastorGregCGR. It'll show up on your account, by the way, as a donation to Faith Harvest Church. God bless you. And remember what the Word of God says at the end of the day. At the end of the day, when I stand before my God, I do not want him to ask me, what did you do with the world that I sent my son to die for and redeem? How did you fight the good fight to share the good news and keep evil in check? How did you shine your light and be a beacon of truth in the darkness? Did you shrink back in fear when they demanded you change my message? Did you call evil good and good evil? Did you forsake my love for that of another, lying with the adulterer and setting up a new idol in your life? Have you defiled yourself through compromise and tolerance of that which I call an abomination? Have you innocent blood on your hands for the children murdered on your watch and the young ones perverted in their way by evil men, seeking their own comfort and reviling me? No. At the end of the day, I want him to simply say, the evidence is in. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I love my God, and I love his creation. And I will go to my grave telling the world that evil is evil and only God is good. And Jesus came to save the world. That no matter the evil in the world, I will never give up. And in spite of the hate, I will love in truth. God bless you all, and may love remove the veil so you all might enter into his rest.